The government's announced progress on Christchurch's new stadium and sports facility. So Christchurch will get a new covered stadium large enough to host test matches and entertainment events. The business case for it's been fast-tracked, so the council can now begin detailed work. There's no completion deadline, but they want it open in 2021. It'll cost around $500 million, with the council paying half. Are you happy about this before we go into more detail, both of you?
Well, I'm pleased for Christchurch that they have some certainty about the Metro Sports Facility, which is going to more or less start immediately or work on it. And I do think that if they were going to have one and not the other, they would never have got the other one if they hadn't announced both more or less today, although there is the to-ing and fro-ing over putting together a new business case for the stadium. But getting a stadium, they need it covered. I mean, Christchurch is pretty cold in winter, and I think if they want to do concerts and all sorts of other things, they have to go down that path.
Okay, so it gets a tick from you.
Yeah, I doubt that if Dunedin hadn't got a covered stadium that Christchurch would get one. I think the covered stadium in Dunedin's been the best thing to happen to that city for years and years and years. And sadly, even now, there are people who are against it. And, you know, again, when that was being built, there was all sorts of discussion and people were, you know, just saying, no, it's a bad idea. But honestly, you know, it's got the best atmosphere of any stadium in the country. It's absolutely superb down there. And I think it's a good idea for Christchurch. I mean, you do not get any more parochial rugby supporters than you do in Christchurch. You know, they're parochial with a capital P. And I'm sure it'll be, you know, fantastic when they do get All Black tests and stuff back there. They've done great guns with Hagley Oval, you know, for cricket. That's a beautiful, beautiful setting. And I'm sure probably Dunedin's living a little bit in trepidation, and maybe, you know, Ed Sheeran and Kendrick Lamar will now go to Christchurch than Dunners. You know.
But won't that be great for Christchurch to get some really big acts there? Well, maybe Christchurch and Dunedin will get acts that Auckland doesn't get.
Yeah, well, you've got to hope, because, I think it's a good idea.
The cost's been reduced by $50 million by cutting back on car parking space, it seems, mainly, you'd think.
And a childcare facility and a porch somewhere.
Well, it seems there's a lot of money to be saved by not having as much parking, and I wouldn't call them fripperies around the edges, but the use of cheaper stone, fewer facades and skylights. It's a huge shaving off the cost. Yeah. 50-metre competition pool and diving pool with 1,000 seats for spectators, 9 indoor courts for basketball, netball and a gym. Hydro slides, a birthday party room. It's all set out today.
So it's sort of a replacement for both Lancaster Park and QE2 Stadium, I guess, in one.
Yeah, I guess you could say that.
With the swimming pools and stuff and everything, yeah.
And a high-performance sports centre. Mm. And an aquatic sensory space. Dr. Eric Crampton was with the University of Canterbury, so he knows the turf we're talking about, and he's now an economist at the New Zealand Initiative. Good afternoon, Eric.
Good afternoon.
Do you like the look, first of all, of what people in Christchurch will get?
Well, the design on the Metro Sports Facility looks pretty. I haven't seen the updated pictures that have some of the frillier bits taken off to get some cost reductions. It looks nice. We can think about the opportunity costs of all of this over the past 6 years, though, and perhaps have a few regrets.
Yes, I want to ask you about that. These big anchor projects, including this one, what do you think of them and the way they've been rolled out?
Well, you could have made a case for some of this in 2011 around building confidence downtown, and that was the case that was made for them, that they would anchor the downtown recovery by bringing back some confidence that business would return downtown. Government was going to be the anchor tenant, was going to be putting up some of these big facilities to show that downtown would rebuild. That case kind of required them moving faster than 2018 to get going on it. Now, some of these facilities we would have ended up needing. There was going to have to be a replacement for QE2 at some point, and we did get the nice little transitional stadium to replace Lancaster Park or AMI Stadium as a transitional option. But there were some problems in how the whole thing was structured, so delays in getting the business cases and the planning for some of these projects, like the Metro Sports Facility or the stadium, sort of fed into the downtown planning delays, because we had government as a planner working beside government as a potential builder. So when It took longer for them to figure out what they were wanting to do with things like a convention center or a sports facility. That dragged out decision-making about arts precinct and sports precinct, how Christchurch was going to look. For any future ones, we really need to make sure that if government is going to be pursuing anchor projects, that we have a separation between the commissioning of these things and the city planning part.
Okay, can you expand on that in terms of how you can obviate that kind of uncertainty and delay? What would you do precisely instead?
Ideally, we'd avoid anchor projects in the first place. That government will have a very difficult time, unless they're able to actually get shovels in the ground very quickly, because I can imagine cases, per se, in a Wellington earthquake, that there might be even more uncertainty about whether there would be a downtown again. And getting government shovels in the ground very quickly to restore confidence that, well, actually, we will continue to have Parliament in Wellington and that things will kind of continue. We will end up having a downtown again. We'd have to move a lot faster in getting that done. Otherwise, anchor projects should probably be avoided as part of any city planning. If we're going to be having them, it would be, here's a spot on the map where they'll happen, and then just go to market for an RFP saying broadly, here's what we want to have, and give us some designs and proposals along with costings and what the user fees would be, and we'll take the best tender,
so,
rather than running it all through the government agency.
So you're saying we're getting designed by a crown entity, Alta Coro, instead of outside innovation responding to a brief?
Well, Odorico was at least, they came in 2016, so we can't blame them for any of the delays. They showed up 5 years after the earthquakes, and they've been reasonably quick since being established. If government were going to be doing this again, they should be having that kind of agency in right away to be handling the delivery side and having that separate from the city planning side. The alternative is going out to tender for these things, but you might quickly find that nobody's willing to tender to put in a convention center because nobody makes money on the things. If the expectation is that the government wouldn't be on the hook for a fair bit of upfront cash on it. And similarly with stadiums, the economics around these things tends to be pretty terrible.
Yeah.
I heard the discussion around Dunedin Stadium, and it's a beautiful facility. They've had some great concerts there. But I wonder how many in council there looking at their ongoing costs of maintaining the thing and the effects of that on the city's budget and its ability to afford other things like upgrading sewerage and dealing with flooding, whether they might not have a few regrets about it.
A conversation we have had many a time, actually, on the panel. Eric, more broadly, I know the funding mechanisms are quite different, but how do you think they will view this in all the Christchurch houses with botched repairs and mortgages worth more than their homes?
Well, in one sense, there shouldn't really be a trade-off between getting houses fixed and getting stadiums built, because they really should come out of different pockets. That if I've got a contract with my insurer should be making me whole, and that should have nothing to do with what's going on in the stadium. But in another sense, they are linked, because the Christchurch experience was that EQC was not really providing adequate scopes of work, and everybody kind of suspects that everybody got a downscoped scope of works for the repairs to try and avoid affecting the government's budget and putting the surplus at risk.
Yeah.
If we wound up shortchanging everybody relative to the contracts that they had with their insurer and EQC to avoid putting costs on the government, and then the government's using the savings to build stadiums, I can imagine that if we'd put that as a proposition up in 2011 saying, hey, everybody, would you be happy if EQC shortchanged you so that we can save some money for a stadium? I don't think it would have been that hard to get like a pitchforks mob up around that.
And I don't know if this is possible to answer, but in straight economic terms, do you think you get a better return from having your populace properly housed and better satisfied because of that, or from having a stadium and a mixed-use centre that brings people together and gives them pride?
I think you get better economic returns from honouring contracts in the first place, so that people aren't worried that if something like this happens again, that EQC will not be dealing fairly with them, and then having all of that uncertainty around any kind of home ownership in that kind of scenario. We should be trying to keep these things separate. I would put, if I had to push a button for one or the other, I'd be getting houses fixed rather than putting in stadiums.
Dr. Eric Crampton, thank you.